Hello, Jake.
Funky.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
The talent, as you've been called on previous podcasts.
It's true. The talent from Iowa, which is where I just came back from.
I didn't even know Iowa was a thing.
Iowa is a thing.
I heard that you were from there.
Not everything is flat in Iowa.
Well, welcome.
Like my breasts.
Welcome to the Comixologist Podcast. Are you excited to close out the year with this fantastic episode?
I am very excited. This was a big year.
Biggest year ever, I think.
It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times.
You stupid monkey. We've been running some fantastic awards, like an awards ceremony on the Twitter this week.
Our Comixologist Awards.
We'll be revealing the winners and the runner-ups.
I hope we're not revealing too much about them.
Hopefully
of
not.
Of them.
Hopefully not. We have been not running events. Today's award was for best creator owned.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Released digitally this year.
It's a big one for a lot of reasons.
Da-da-da. So we'll be reading your tweets live to tape to close out the show. It's not been revealed yet who won that award. That's the one holdout so far.
It's being taped live. Taped to live to tape. What?
So a lot of stuff came out this week.
There were a lot of things. Like, it was a good closeout to the year. And as always, I'm surprised that things didn't get delayed in the stores. And well, they wouldn't be delayed for us because we don't have to wait for anything to ship. Well,
when was the last time that happened? It wasn't Thanksgiving, was it?
No, it happened. I think the last time was like the beginning of last year, and then like about a quarter of the way through the year this year, Diamond decided to start shipping on Wednesdays, even if there was a holiday.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering because it hadn't happened in a while.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Maybe because it's the silliest thing ever, and digital is quite popular now.
Maybe
both. So, what did you read this week?
All right. So I tried to read a lot while I was home. Didn't get to read a lot because I couldn't download stuff because the internet is still a weird
thing.
That's
right. They don't. It's confirmed. It's a fact. They don't have internet in Iowa.
Yeah, we just like stick a bunch of corn together and hope that like it will like start picking up Wi-Fi signals. But I did get to read two books, and the first one I want to talk about, Marvel book. I want to talk about The Mighty Thor.
Really?
/ Daenerys.
Oh, that's right. So he's like dead, quote, and he's not in this book. Is that
can
correct?
Okay, I'm going to give a spoiler. This is kind of a spoiler if you didn't read the last issue, if you've kind of stopped reading it because you are so frustrated with fear itself. But Mighty Thor has Thor in it.
Shocking.
First issue after Fear Itself, Thor is in the issue.
I don't understand, because if I am not incorrect, he was dead at Fear Itself, and then the Fear Itself wrap-up, you know, one of those 8-point issues, wasn't he burned?
Yeah.
Like Darth Vader?
Yeah. But he's back. I mean, he's kind of back. He's dead. He is still dead. He's with other dead people in some sort of, like, afterlife, and he's going to be eaten by this giant god-eating thing where gods go to die and be forgotten.
I don't understand any of that. That is the craziest thing ever.
It's a giant monster.
Is it the Krakoa?
Krakoa?
The Krakoa?
No.
That from Giant Size X-Men? Or the island mutant?
Oh, yeah. Thing? No.
No, okay.
But that's in Wolverine, isn't it?
Now it is.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
The first issue, Wolverine and the X-Men, it's in it. Thank you, everybody.
Right.
That's another spoiler.
So what's the god's name of the dead god that eats other gods? Does he have a name? Gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook. I don't know. It's like he's like he doesn't have a name.
Okay. Who's writing this? Is this Matt Fraction, John?
Yeah, it's Fraction.
Okay. Is it good?
It's not bad. Well, the whole kind of premise of this, that's going on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But the main part of the story is there's a new god of thunder named Daenerys, and nobody remembers Thor at all. Like, everybody's forgotten Thor, which sounds, you know, if that doesn't sound familiar, everybody kind of forgot who Spider-Man was for a while, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because in the
mind wipes.
The point three Thor issue, it made it look like Thor never existed and Daenerys was always Thor. Is that right?
Right. And in the first issue, it's revealed Daenerys is a not good person.
Oh, no.
And his name rhymes with Bootlick.
Bootlick. I don't know. What? MODOK?
What? This doesn't remember. You're a terrible poet.
Bootlick. I have no idea. Ulick? Are these Ulick. Thor people?
Ulick is a Thor. Okay.
Ulick. Nobody knows who that is.
He's a troll. He's a troll villain.
Oh, okay.
He has two heads.
If it's a Thor person, I'm drawing blanks.
You're terrible. You're just awful. You're an awful Marvel person.
So, all right. So, all right. That's
Thor. So it was good. It's not bad. Okay. It's kind of fun reading it. I get really tired of the whole mind wipe sort of thing.
Yeah.
But not bad. What did you read?
The Cape, number 3.
Ooh, that's on my list. Does it get better?
It's for those that haven't been reading The Cape. It's from the Joe Hill. And it tells a story about this guy. He's kind of a jerk. And he has this cape that allows him to fly. It's like it's kind of his whoopee from when he was younger. He always wore a cape when he was a kid.
What is it?
Whoopee? You ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of whoopee before.
It must be a Pennsylvania thing. It's like a blanket you keep with you at all times.
Okay.
I don't think it's revealed yet that when he first found out that it could help him, allow him to fly, they're leading up to it.
No, it was revealed. It's been revealed.
In the
there
one
was,
shot?
There was the one shot, yeah. It was in the one shot, yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was in the series or not.
Where he like gets impaled?
He got impaled because the cape wasn't on him.
Well, yeah.
So he's an adult now, and he's like a jerk, and you know his girlfriend left him, so he took revenge on her.
Oh man, that was such a disgusting scene.
And so he's enacting revenge on everybody that's wronged him so far, which is his like immediate family.
Well, is his mom still hostage?
Well, in this issue, the cliffhanger last issue was him with like this huge chainsaw.
Oh yeah, that's right. He gets the chainsaw, and he's flying. I'm really excited to read about him flying around with a chainsaw.
So it's such an odd book because there's really no likable factor for this guy.
Yeah, he's completely not redeemable. It's like irredeemable, but without
more. Yeah, it's just this guy. Think of like some guy you just really don't like, and he's really a D-bag, and he now has a cape that allows him to fly, and he has a chainsaw. I mean, what could possibly happen at that point? And that's what this book is.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable, but I just get this weird feeling like
it makes me feel dirty when I read it sometimes.
It's like I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah,
but it's a good. I recommend it.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, I live through my comic books too much sometimes, yeah, reading stuff like that.
What's your second book, Jake the Talent?
My second book is a exclusively new day and date title.
Really.
American Vampire.
Oh, yes.
Number 22? 21?
That's correct. 22? 22.
Yeah, 22, yeah.
Brand new story arc.
Oh, man. So we're done with Beast in the Cave, which was like a kind of a little interlude. And now we are back to the current timeline of our main character. We're back to the main story of our characters. And we're now in the 50s. It's after World War II, because the story arc before this was like all World War II stuff. And, we're introduced to a new character who, I'm not going to spoil anything, but he's a new character. He's a rebel without a cause.
He is.
But he does happen to have a cause later in the issue. The one thing that like, I really, really love about this book, like Mark Snyder is such a, he's great.
Scott Snyder.
What did I say?
Mark.
Oh, why did I say Mark? Scott.
Maybe it's his middle name.
Sorry, Scott. So he's. I really feel like he's like such a great wordsmith, especially like with this era. There's a lot of like wordplay going on. Like the guy is making out with this girl, and he's like, "Come on, let's neck." And they do all of these like little. They do all these. He does all these little like. Nice little things.
Yeah, to put you in that era. The one thing I did.
But also put you in like the vampire. Like,
right. The one thing that I usually don't like in books is where it starts out in a moment and then they go immediately into a flashback mode to get you back to that point at the end of the book.
Yeah, I mean,
I did like it in this issue though. It was a nice cliffhanger at the end,
right?
With the drag race and I think that's what's appealing to this book is because it shifts. It's not just the same characters every time. So this is like it's issue 22, but this is a jumping on point. Like you can come in with no previous knowledge and you're able to hop in and enjoy it.
Right. But There's like one character that shows up that's been in the whole. It's important that you kind of. I'm curious as to why he's there, because there's something about him that doesn't seem quite right at this point. But the other question is, who is in the other car? That's my question. And after the last story arc, if it's who I think it is, I am salivating to know.
I actually didn't even read the first or the last one. I read the first trade.
You need to read the last. They're all available on the Comixology app.
Maybe I'll check them out.
We have the entire run, current and past issues, and yeah, the last one was really good, and it has a very specific end that if who is in that car, other car is who I think it is. It's not going to make any sense. Mm. Yeah, and it's going to be a big deal, and I'm going to be very curious as to how this all came to be.
Okay. Let's get into another book before we get into our golden oldies.
You read another book?
The Ultimates.
The Ultimates?
Ultimate Comics Ultimates.
How's that going?
It's kind of...
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed.
Well, it's you-know-who.
Jonathan Hickman?
Oh, it's Jonathan Hickman, yeah. I keep thinking it's the other...
Miller?
Yeah. No. You-know-who. The he who shall not be named.
I think we just did.
You didn't say his whole name.
Okay. He can't hear you and come kill
you in your sleep.
Jonathan Hickman and Asad Ribic has been doing the art chores, which I've been finding enjoyable.
Yeah, I've flipped through it a couple times, and I've liked the art. I don't know.
And I think it was last week or previously, I'd asked, you know, where is Captain America in all this? So this issue kind of answers that question, because he hasn't been in any issue. And it follows that trope that I poke fun at is, you know, when a character returns from being missing for a while and he has something to say, and it's the last page of that issue, which I saw in like three books this week.
Mm-hmm. That happens all the time.
It's so bad.
It's like the most common way to end an issue of a book.
It's so strange. But my problem is that this one had a fill-in artist for three quarters of the book, and it was Brandon Peterson from back in the day. I can't remember what he drew previously. I think it was an Ultimates mini. I just get bummed when I open a book and I was like, it's not all Asad Ribic.
Boo.
And which reminds me of, too, Uncanny X-Men, which is, you know, this big reboot from relaunch from Marvel.
It's not a reboot. Don't call it a reboot. They've been here for years.
Carlos Pacheco, started it, but he had like nine other artists with him the next two issues.
Yeah, which is kind of, that's becoming a really common thing with Marvel and DC.
Like now, I guess they want it to come out the same time every month, or at least every month. Mm-hmm. But I thought they would have had enough lead time for this relaunch.
It makes me think that they're running like an artist sweatshop.
It actually didn't bug me that much in Uncanny, because his style was similar enough to Pacheco, and that actually the other artist was good enough. I kind of liked his art over mm-hmm. Pacheco. So it didn't bug me that much, but, you know, still kind of a bummer. Still kind of a bummer.
Bummer, dude.
Oh, speaking of which, do you know that Action Comics, that two-issue fill-in, is going to be a retelling of his origin?
Yeah.
By Kubert. Andy Kubert is drawing
it. Yeah, he drew the first few pages of that. Didn't he draw the first few pages of the last issue? Or the last, maybe number three, where it was that? No, that was Ha.
Yeah, Gene Ha.
Gene Ha.
So it looks, I saw like six pages of it. It looks really good.
Yeah, ooh, I'm so excited.
Golden Oldies.
Okay, Golden Oldies.
Book that just came out, maybe recently digitally, not a new book.
No. You go first.
All right. DMZ.
Oh, really?
Not necessarily that new is... to digital, but I no. It's new to me.
But that's really interesting. How are you? I read a couple issues in the middle, and then I tried to start from the beginning, and I just fell off.
I have like six, my buddy Dale_A. On the Twitter, mm-hmm. he gave me the trade, so I have it in my office. He's a good-looking man. And I just never could get into the print, and I am excited for his Wolverine book to come out, and obviously his Conan. So I downloaded the first couple issues. It talks about a kind of dreary future in which there's almost a secession from some states from the U.S., and they've become kind of like a militaristic. They have their own army. So Manhattan has become this demilitarized zone where the warring factions are on the opposite side of the island. So they send in this photographer to Manhattan to, you know, get the view of what that area is like, because people haven't been there. They don't know what it's like. It could be a war zone, could be like eradicated. So something happens where the photographer, the original award-winning photographer, is hurt. So now his assistant is the only one left. And instead of getting his like ticket out of there, he meets this girl that tells him, you know, it's, things are different than what they're portrayed on the news. So he decides to stick it out and find out more about Manhattan. Pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty it's, good. It's a really interesting, it's really interesting. And I really kind of want to, I keep wanting to get back into it, and I keep kind of going, waffling back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot to read.
You do.
Let me back on.
You have a lot to read.
It's true. And I have set myself up for a lot. While I was gone, I downloaded a bunch of back issues of
Fables.
No. Oh. God, I don't need to read. I do need to read Fables again, but I don't need to read it again. Mm-hmm. Again. No, I downloaded two series that I wanted to reread in its entirety, because I'd read bits and pieces and really liked it. Both. Well, not bits and pieces of one, but I tried to read Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get to that. I didn't even make a dent in it. Like I started to reread like some of the stuff I did read before, which was great. But the stuff that I actually had read more piecemeal was Runaways. Brian K. Vaughan. I'm not going to read the Joss Whedon stuff. Love you, Joss.
I didn't know there was Joss Whedon stuff.
Yeah, I've heard it's not great. I may start it at some point, but I'm not very motivated to get into it. But Brian K. Vaughan, Volume 1 and Volume 2, the Volume 2 run was actually just on sale with us. So I started reading. I read through Volume 1. Which is amazing. It's such an amazing series.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's the premise is like they're kids of supervillains.
Yeah. Right? The premise is that it's in the Marvel universe, and it's in LA where like none of the superheroes really are. Like everybody, all the superheroes are like, you know, centered in New York, and so there is these people called the Pride that run the underbelly of LA, and these kids find out that it's their parents that are the Pride.
Hmm.
And they're like different. They're all very different. And so they decide that they're going to stop their parents because they're evil. And so they all run away and their parents are trying to look for them. And the really great thing about this series is, and this is Volume 1, Volume 2, it takes a different direction, but it's still kind of similar. Like this whole parent, this whole like, you know, kids are dumb. Parents know what, you know, the generation before, you know, them knows what's right for them sort of thing. And it's like, it goes back and forth. It's like, yes, maybe they do. Maybe they don't. There's this whole thing about like, you know, the whole thing about the Pride is like, you know, are they, you know, the kids are the, you know, their pride and joy, you know, a lot of plays on like, you know, parental love and like what's right and what's wrong. And so it does a lot of neat things like that, like playing with your head, like, you know, it turns out that, you know, they're evil because they wanted to make a world for their kids that they could live in.
Mm.
And there's a lot of, it's a lot of like back and forth with it, but they're like doing like these evil deeds.
Is this a series that like you could recommend to a lot of non-readers? Like,
I could recommend it. Like, the one hard thing to get through, especially with the first volume, is the art. It's the same artist throughout the whole thing. And the art eventually gets really good, I think. But it starts, the art starts off kind of like, he's trying to find
his own style. Yeah, I think I remember going through the first issue and I was kind of, meh.
Yeah, the art in the first few issues is really meh. But then later he finds his groove and it really gets good, and like it starts to like, you know, it starts to look really awesome.
Okay.
Like there's some really cute like things that he does with some of the characters. I would recommend it for non-comic book readers, especially non-comic book readers who might want to kind of get into to the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does give you some background on the Marvel universe, that could like maybe push you into certain, and it has some cameos from certain characters.
Okay.
That would push you maybe to like check out something of theirs. And they talk about the Marvel characters a lot. Like they're like, cause they're, you know, they're kids. And so they're big fans of the Marvel characters.
Mm. We're running out of time, Jake.
We need to
get to the Comixologist Awards ceremony.
All right. I'm excited. Okay.
Let me get the paper ready here.
Okay, what are the categories?
Categories, favorite ongoing series released same day. What else? Comeback comic of the year.
That's an interesting
favorite series from the past category. Released digitally this year.
Uh-huh.
The results so far, just in these two names, will shock you.
Oh my gosh. Nothing will ever be the same. Worlds will live, worlds will die.
Favorite debut comic series released digitally this year is also a category. Favorite collection, story arc, or graphic novel.
Uh-huh.
And we will read the tweets live for favorite creator-owned series released digitally this year. Dun, 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 Let's get dun, dun. To one of the biggest shocks right now.
All
right.
Ready? Four.
Favorite ongoing series released same day as print.
And the winner is...
Young Justice.
What?
Yeah. This is
Young Justice. This is a thing?
As voted by the Twitter... Our illustrious followers on the Twitter, Young Justice has taken the prize.
That is a shock.
I'm stunned.
I cannot believe that.
I'm stunned.
I mean, not that I would expect it to be a bad series, but like for a book based on a Cartoon Network series.
I know.
That's pretty.
Runners up for this.
Okay, what were the runners up?
Atomic Robo.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Atomic Robo.
Uh-huh.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead didn't... Oh, wow. Walking Dead was a runner-up. That doesn't even make sense to me.
I know. Morning Glories.
Morning Glories. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's got a good following.
Yeah, that's kind of...
So congratulations to everyone involved with Young Justice.
Yeah, good job, Nick Spencer there.
Comeback Comic of the Year.
Oh, don't call it a comeback. They've been here for years.
Runners Up.
Okay. Runners Up. Oh, we're going to read Runners Up first.
Reverse.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, let's do reverse.
Spice it up here.
Oh.
Bone.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. I've been rereading that.
Animal Man, which I...
Old Animal Man?
New.
New like, Animal that's Man. A title that's a comeback?
Technically.
I guess that's a comeback, yeah. I don't know how Bone is a comeback. I don't know how the correlation between comeback and Bone and Animal Man.
Punisher.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good... I mean, Frankencastle, amazing. Shut up. You die. You die and turn into Frankenstein.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to turn you into
and the winner
Frankenslim.
For Comeback Comic of the Year.
What is it?
Elephant Men.
That's a good one. That's a really good comeback title.
Congratulations.
I totally endorse that.
Okay. Well, it's good. I'm glad that you endorse it. Favorite debut comic series released digitally this year.
Mm-hmm. Runners up.
We have the runners up ready for you right now.
Okay, tell me.
Justice League Dark.
Okay.
Runner up.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Takio? By Bendis.
Takio? Why do you say Takio?
Is there an official pronunciation?
I think it's Takio.
Takio. How's that?
Shut up. Just read the next thing.
Kirby Genesis.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that one. I was hoping that would get somewhere.
Now, I hope you're sitting down. We have a first place tie.
You know I'm sitting down. You're looking right at me.
I am. Hyper Girl.
Whoa, Marcosia.
Has tied with the strange talents of Luther Strode.
Yeah! My boys! Luther Strode.
Congratulations. That is a stunner. Stunning.
Hyper Girl.
Out of nowhere.
That is, that is out of nowhere.
Congratulations to everyone.
Interesting
in premise.
And you read that book, too.
I did. I read that on one of the previous podcasts.
Yeah.
Favorite collection, story arc, or graphic novel released digitally this year? Are you ready?
Yes. No, I'm not.
Spider Island.
Spider Island?
That's correct.
It's not even collected yet.
Listen, these are as voted by our fantastic Twitter followers. Spider Island.
That was a good one.
Has gotten runner-up status right now.
That's good. That's a good one.
Out of nowhere, The Pro.
That wasn't even released. That was released last year digitally. Come on, people.
It's new to most people.
Twitter fail. Somebody put up the fail whale.
The Rocketeer. I love that.
That's
Rocketeer.
A good one. That's great. You could stop there. I don't even know.
I swooned over the Rocketeer last week on that podcast, so check it out. And the winner for favorite collection is Sweets from Cody Chamberlain.
Whoa.
Congratulations,
Cody Chamberlain. Yeah, he was on the podcast.
Your no prize is in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye out for it. And right now, those are the winners so far. So yeah. We have one more category.
What's the category?
Favorite creator-owned series released digitally.
That's so big.
This year.
How big is that?
We want to go through the tweets right now to see what people are saying about that award.
Yeah. Creator-owned stuff.
Your tweets live.
This will make or break somebody's career, you know.
Let's see. Lanetto MB on the Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Criminal, Last of the Innocent, assuming that's eligible.
Last of the Innocent? Why wouldn't it be eligible? It's Icon. I mean, Icon's creator-owned stuff. Mr. Brubaker, if you're listening.
Ganthet on the Twitter has a few nominations.
Ganthet? Ooh.
Memorial.
The Guardian himself.
The Activity, Heart and Shinku.
Oh, good. Shinku. I actually have been taking a look at Shinku. I like that one.
Pop Culture Cube, Last of the Greats, and The Activity.
Ooh, Last of the Greats.
I actually have The Activity on my iPad, and I haven't read it yet. Nikki_Smith.
Nikki Smith.
In Maps and Legends.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Travis Ellisor.
Ellisor?
Yes.
God, what is this going to be?
No, I was actually going to read something that he was trying to help out Michael Avon Oeming in voting. Travis Ellisor says Eldritch.
Eldritch? Eldritch. Oh, I've heard that's very funny, actually. I really want to read that one.
M. Selkie01 says Love and Capes.
Love and Capes? Okay. That's interesting.
Okay.
Do you got one more for us?
I do. I'm going to give it to you right now.
Give it here.
American Vampire.
That's not creator-owned.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry, folks. All
right, I got one more.
Okay.
Who is Jake Ellis?
I don't know.
From Bill Bravo with one L.
Ooh, Bill Bravo with one L?
One L.
That's weird. But who is Jake Ellis? That's interesting. Okay.
I love Jake Ellis. Love it.
Yeah?
Love it to death.
Is it good?
It's in the 99-cent sale for today only. Today's the last
day. Last day. Last day sale.
What a show.
Yeah, wow.
What a show.
That is crazy. There's a lot of stuff. I don't know who... There's so many different things. I don't know how many books can win. Everything, honestly, everything is a winner to me. I would read our entire library, twice over, because everything is so good.
You're the real winner in my book.
Yeah. I am.
I
win because everybody else wins, I win.
Do you have any closing statements before we adieu for the final 2011?
I'd like to thank everybody for sticking with us and coming back to us after our long hiatus this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to thank you, Matt, for really bringing something to this podcast that it didn't have before, which was stability.
I was wondering what word you were going to use. No, I appreciate it. It's been a great year.
Yeah, and we're happy. We're happy that you came along.
Oh, stop it.
It's been, it's been good.
No, I'm not going to cry because we have a lot of work to do. So we need that podcast.
Don't cry.
There's
no crying in baseball.
We will see everybody next year.
For zany adventures.
I can be that guy that says
more
that.
To come.
I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next year.